down. The number one factor of Christianity, God, born of a virgin. 66% of Americans believe that. The average person isn't quite as sure about the Son of God's existence prior to Jesus' birth. Around 41% say God's Son existed before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's less than half. Wow. Where has truth gone? Close to 32% don't even believe he existed. 41% do, 32% say no, and 28% haven't got a clue. Wow. So that that just means you and I are the minority. And there's the ones we need to be preaching the gospel to. Because that's all part of the gospel. Wow. There was a lot more statistics there, but I wanted you to understand that Christmas truth is declining. That's why I was so excited today, because I see Christmas truth being presented into our young people's lives, into our children's lives. I guess it means so much to me, because I remember when God revealed himself to me, and I was this age right here. There's hope for you, young man. Because God is still on the throne. I did not understand what was going on nor what had happened until after I got born again by the Spirit of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God showed me what happened. How God all along through my life, even in my teenage years. Don't tell me you can't overcome as a teenager. I was lost. I wasn't saved. But there was a lot of things I didn't do because I had a healthy fear of God. From a child up. So you can overcome if you'll tap into the power that's been provided. If you'll tap into the truth and you'll begin to earnestly contend, amen, for Christmas, for the truths of the kingdom of God. You see, it's one thing. See, if you'll start contending for truth and contending for God in your life and fighting to keep God there, you'll become more than a conqueror. If you're only contending with your flesh all the time, you're going to lose. Because you're not contending for God. You're just contending against the enemy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is why contending for Christmas is very, very important. And what I'm really after here this morning is contending for the miraculous. Not just the true story, but the miraculous true story. The power of God moving in this story. The power of God fulfilling things in this story. The power of God. You go, you read the book of the Gospel of Matthew, and you find that he starts talking about the lineage of David, because Matthew's dealing with the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah, and that he was going to be sitting on the throne of David forever. And so the Gospel of Matthew begins to bring forth that lineage of David, that miraculous conception of the Holy Ghost, and then seeing the humility and the availability of a little woman called Mary, and a man called Joseph, who really threw his life totally away so he could take Mary to be his wife, after what everybody else perceived she was done, called adultery. And so he laid down all of his ambitions. He laid down all of his dreams. and he obeyed God. Hallelujah. A fulfilling of prophecy after prophecy. This is miraculous, you know. The miraculous star. I already told you about that a while ago. What was that in the sky that those magi saw? What was it that caught their attention? Was it just a little gleam, a little beacon? I don't think so. I think it was when the heavenly host lit up the sky brighter than the sun. And they saw that and they realized God has done something miraculous over there. Hallelujah. And they begin to search the scriptures and they begin to realize something's going on down there towards Bethlehem. We're not for sure what it was, because as you kind of read that story, they went that direction, but they weren't led by the star. They went to Herod thinking he would know what was going on. Herod hadn't seen anything. And it wasn't shining at this moment. Think about that. But as they left Herod, headed for Bethlehem, because that's what the scripture said, lo, behold, the star appeared. What was that? Well, it was that same holy angel called Gabriel. I believe that. I mean, that's just my thought on it. I believe that. I mean, he lit up the sky. He lit it up for those wise men to come find. Woo! He wasn't just a little baby anymore. That's what we put in our westernized, nativity scene. He wasn't a little baby anymore. It'd been 2 years since they saw that phenomenon in the heavens. Woo! I don't know about you, but God, I mean, even if it was two angels, they lit up that sky. That's what those wise men saw. But it was more than just, it was a heavenly. Go to the book of Revelation. What does it talk about? Hosts no man can number. God, the miraculous work of an almighty God in the lives of human beings when God became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And God performed the miraculous all around this Christmas story that we celebrate. Hallelujah. Oh my, and that's just Matthew. Mark, he was younger, and he just gets right to the point. He starts talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Glory, glory. Oh, then you come to Luke the physician. I mean, he gives detail after detail after detail after detail. I mean, he was a doctor, you know. That's what you want from your doctor, isn't it? Detail after detail after detail, so you can make sure and understand. Woo! Hallelujah. And from the word go, the miraculous is on the scene. The Holy Ghost is on the scene. Angelic Gabriel is on the scene. Hallelujah. And God begins to start the greatest plan ever. Hallelujah. For the history of mankind. It was promised, but it is starting to be fulfilled. And this is what I'm after. You've got to believe. You've got to understand. It's more than just a story. It's more than just a moment of history on the pages. It is the miraculous power of God moving in the lives of normal men and women, hallelujah, that have made themselves available to do the will of God at that very moment of time. And look what happened, because people were willing to surrender their lives and do God's will. Gabriel comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth. John is miraculously conceived, naturally conceived, but by a miracle. Gabriel visits Mary, miraculous conception of Jesus, his incarnation. Yes, we'll get to that here in a moment. John 1:1. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesies. Zacharias is filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesies. The taxing begins to take place, a sovereign move of God upon the works of men to bring about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the provision of the stable was miraculous. The plan. The miraculous angelic visitation, oh, to the shepherds. Hallelujah. The shepherds moving with faith and believing the angels make their way to that stable in Bethlehem. And there they see that child. Wow. And there's not a doubt in their heart or their mind to what those angels told them and who that was. And they begin to publicize it. They begin to tell everybody about it. And it doesn't stop there. Simeon's in the temple when they take him the eighth day to be circumcised. There's Simeon led by the Holy Ghost. And he picks up that child and he begins to prophesy. Talking about all the great things. There was Anna too. And she began to proclaim the Savior has come. What I'm after here this morning is, will you earnestly contend for these truths this Christmas season? Will you begin to exalt Jesus Christ above everything this Christmas season? Will you begin to share the power of the story and not just the knowledge of the story this Christmas season? Because yes, he was God before he was born on the face of this earth. And John settles it, because that's how he starts his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you have life this morning? Do you have life this morning? Or do you just have a story? Or do you have life? Because it is life that is the light of men. What is life? Life is a surrendered life to Jesus Christ at every moment of every day. Every circumstance, every situation, every trial, every test, our light will so shine among men when we follow Jesus in that time of temptation. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Jesus Christ was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse number 9, 1 John, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were not born of, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Contending for Christmas, I want to contend to be filled with grace and truth, no matter how hard it hurts. A lot of times we don't realize grace is one of the things that hurts the most. Why? Because when the grace of God comes our way, it immediately shows us where we've done wrong. It immediately shows us how unworthy we are. But it also immediately shows us how much he loves us and he's willing to help us start fresh and anew. Glory. I don't know about you, but all through my Christian life, I've made a lot of mistakes. Most of them wouldn't really be considered sins of the flesh. Most of them, actually, to the contrary, would be sins of the spirit. I don't know why, but a lot of times we think the sins of the flesh are far worse than sins of the spirit. I guess because we see more of them or acknowledge more of them. What are you talking about, Brother Pepper? I'm talking about when I got mad and I should have been compassionate. I'm talking about when I shouldn't have spoke and I spoke anyway because I wanted to. Yeah. Grieving the Holy Ghost. Quenching the Spirit of God. Flying off the handle and destroying someone with the words of my mouth. That's sins of the Spirit. Why? Because we're quenching the Holy Ghost, because that's not His way. That's not His way at all. Yeah, my life's been filled with multitudes of those. That's when that grace of God shows up and shows me where I've done wrong. He's very precise. And then helps me go make it right. And then continue to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Don't misunderstand me. Sins of the flesh are evil. They're wrong. They'll put you right in the pits of hell. But we forget the sins of the Spirit will too. Because if we continue on that pattern of quenching the Holy Ghost and grieving the Holy Ghost, we'll walk right out of the presence of God and we won't even know it. Just like Samson did in the Old Testament. Because he got so bound and determined to pursue what he wanted, what he liked, what entertained him, and he forgot to keep his consecrations to God. You see, because if we don't contend for the right things, we'll lose them. We'll lose them. I'm at a place in my life, I don't want to lose them. Because I've got a multitude that have chose to follow me as I follow Christ. And I don't want to lose grace. I don't want to lose truth. And I don't want to lose the power of our God through the Holy Ghost. Because I want to pass it down from generation to generation. And I've got opportunity to do that. I personally have 3 generations that I am being an example for. And it is not time to give in. It is not time to give up. It is time to contend for the truths of God's holy word, and especially the truths of this Christmas season. Amen. Let's stand together. God of heaven, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your visitation right here this morning. God, in this house, among your people, whom you love so much. You're not willing that any one of us would perish. But you want us all to come to that knowledge of your power, of your love, of your help, your strength. God, I pray, stir our hearts, stir our souls, and stir our minds this very moment. God, to contend for the right things. Not to just contend against the enemy, but begin to contend for righteousness, for holiness, for purity, for your will, for your ways, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. If you could just lift your hands unto the Lord. Just make a brand new statement of faith to your God right here this morning. Hallelujah. A brand new recommitment to God. Lord, I'm going to contend. I'm going to contend. I'm going to walk the way you want me to walk. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. I'm going to love the way you want me to love. Without a call, Lord, I'm going to be involved in training my children. I'm going to be involved in training my children.
command. For my life is in your hands,
Lord. Lead us on, God. Lead us on.
I surrender now.
Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, Lord.
I surrender now to you. I surrender now without a compromise. Life is in your hands, and your will is my command. Oh Lord, I surrender now. I surrender now to you, Lord. I surrender now to you. I surrender now without a compromise. My life is in your hands, and your will is my command. Oh Lord, I surrender
be seated again this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the King. Praise the Lord. This has been a wonderful Lord's Day already. Looking forward to the time of fellowship festivities tonight. I want to say thank you to our children for their song presentation that they did this morning. They did a great job. Give our children a hand clap.
Amen.
I want to say thank you to the young people, Sister Lindsay, Brother Lucas, for their presentation. Amen. About our Savior this morning. They did a great job. Give them a hand. Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to those that sang specials, those that led worship, those that played musical instruments, because they did a great job. Give them a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Jason, we get to play your horn. It's your turn. I just kind of heard different ones talking. We always schedule Brother Jason to play the horn during the offering. It's on our sheet. Our what's going to happen during the service? But most of the time, we never pick up the offering in the Sunday morning service, and he doesn't get to play his horn. So I think he might have thought of something or practiced something, or it may have taken him totally by surprise. Hallelujah. Brother Timmy, would you come help Brother Jason and spend some time taking up this offering while he plays on his horn? Pass God's blessing to the team.